We've been focusing on the story of Judges, some of the Judges, the last several mornings. And today we've got Samson. Samson the superhero. This is kind of a downer of a passage because Samson's at the end of his life. And as we will read, he is still doing what God set him out to do. He's having the back of the Israelites. Let's read together. Let's begin at verse 23 of Judges 16. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." There's one right there, okay? And there's another one, and there's another one, and there's another one. Nobody's going to push them over, but that's what Samson did. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign God, remember me, O God. Please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. And his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He led Israel for 20 years. We've been reading the Word of God. Okay, please have a seat. Oh, thanks. I was looking for that. Today we wish to wrap in one message. Samson, graduates, and we're going to get a dose of the Heidelberg Catechism about ascension, the ascension of Jesus Christ. Thursday was the traditional date of Ascension Day celebration. This is Ascension Day Sunday. So we've got all that to do. Will you join me in prayer as we open the Word of God? May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. I brought a fishing float along. This is an old-fashioned one. The Japanese used these decades ago. This is a medium-sized one. I got it in Alaska on a beach. This is a medium-sized one. The big ones, and this is valuable, and the big ones are like that, and there are very few of those around anymore because they don't use these as floats. When I was in college, Bill Vintal and I, a buddy, were working for Alaska Department of Fish and Game. fish gops in southwestern Alaska, 800 miles south of Anchorage along the Alaska Peninsula that hooks around toward Asia. You know, the map of Alaska is so big that the furthest end of Alaska and the other farthest end of Alaska will cover from the east coast to the west coast in continental United States, big state. At night, when commercial fishing boats were sitting well offshore, we walked the shoreline looking for these. Daytime, when the boats came in and fished off limits in the bay, we went out in a kayak and gave them a summons and a court summons and a ticket and made them wish that they wouldn't, that they hadn't done that. Linda wanted me to wear my camel rain gear for this deal, but it's so cheesy, it looks so bad, I don't want to do that. Well, our hope was that they wouldn't do it again. Actually, many of those boats paid their fines and went out. Some of them, friends of ours, caught the next week doing the same thing. On this night, we were walking the rocky beach along Yvonne Bay. Most of the names, place names, on the Alaska Peninsula are Russian because the Russians explored those Popof volcano. They explored it. The tide was out, the salmon went with it, and there was no fishing except for bears who did not observe regulations against night fishing. We could see well. We had a light, but we didn't use it because there were boats off a mile, mile and a half out, and we didn't want them to see our light. We didn't want them to know we were there. There were brown bears around. We could smell them because they were feasting on salmon. We had spotted a bear walking up the shoreline to our left. We walked about a quarter of a mile. Rocks clicked and rattled under our boots. Then we heard something else on the rocky beach behind us, rattling the rocks. We jerked around, we flicked on the light, and that's what we saw. Ba-boom. Hello, Mr. Bear. Now it's true, excuse me, it's true that a wet Alaskan brown bear, the larger cousin of a grizzly, looks like a big pig with a long snout. I started firing rocks, but Bill, having grown up on an Iowa farm, yelled, "Suey, suey." Which, if you understand, how to get my water, which, if you understand, pig talk, is what is what farmers say. Thanks a mil. Farmers say when they're trying to herd hogs. It worked, because I'm here to tell you about it. Mr. Bear stood up on his back feet, standing up like that. He's probably a foot, foot and a half taller than Reverend Aaron Winkle. Big. He turned around and he walked away, and we got out of there with our hearts pounding up the mountain. We went over to our campsite under the elder bush, didn't say a word, but many times after that, Bill and I would be working together. We were both in ministry in the denomination, and we were in meetings together. We would look at each other and laugh. If somebody would slip the other a note and say, "Thank you for having my back, covering what I cannot see." Now, Samson was God's gracious gift at the right time for defending Israel from the Philistines, for having Israel's back. Let's go to the map. The Israelites were alert for enemies to the east, that way. The Moabites, the Edomites, the Ammonites, all those ites. The judges that we've talked about before worked with armies and did their deeds with against armies that came from that direction. The Philistines came from the west. There you go. From the direction of the sea, from Gath, from Ashkelon. Ashkelon. And Samson kept the Philistines off balance until later David would defeat them solidly in battle and take away their threat completely. The text this morning, if you look at the map, let's just keep it up there for a while. Lower left, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza. The Philistines came from the left, the sea, probably from Crete. They had iron, they traded, they had a lot going for them, but they knew that the people all where all those towns are, the Israelites lived up the spine of the rock on the other side of the Jordan Valley, but mostly where all those cities are gathered, and they had good crops. They had a lot of sheep, a lot of goats, and the Philistines didn't have a lot of that stuff, so they went and they were used to raiding, so they went and would steal it. Down to the right, somewhere in there, you'll see Ammon. See Moab way at the bottom on the right. Up a ways, you'll see Ammon. The Edomites are further to the south yet. They're the other direction. So Israel was poised for threats from that direction. But whoa! Who are these guys behind us? We didn't expect them. Well, the text this morning is the story of a remarkable judge. Served for 20 years, and he was born with a special pledge. The boy is to be a Nazarite dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. No strong drink. Don't cut his hair. God will be with him, and God will give him his great strength. Samson, as I said, a judge for 20 years. I suspect he wasn't real good in meetings. He was a man of action. What's your favorite Samson story? The playful Samson? The strong man's riddle? Out of the eater, something's to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. He had killed a lion with his bare hands, came back, saw the carcass, and there were bees who had created a honeycomb in there. He scooped out the honeycomb, he went to went to the feast with all these guys, and he said, I've got a riddle for you. I just gave it to you. Of course, the answer was, what's sweet, honey? What's strong? It's the lion. He's a superhero with a sense of humor. They couldn't control him. They couldn't whip him. They couldn't subdue him. And he still played games. Oh, tie me up with strong leather thongs. I won't be able to break those. Tied him up, fell asleep. The Philistines are coming. Psst. Broke him, went away. Oh, tie me with brand new ropes. Falls asleep, tie him up. Philistines are coming. The Philistines, psst, breaks those. Now here's one. Or take my beautiful long hair and weave it into a rug. I wonder what kind of pattern she had in mind in her Samson rug. Anyhow, his hair goes into the weaving process in some way, and looms were heavy wooden deals, sometimes anchored into the ground. The Philistines are coming. The Philistines are coming. He jumps up and carries the whole thing away. Ah, what a guy. He burns up the Philistine grain by tying torches to foxes' tails. What is that? He was a single-handed, efficient killer of Philistines. That sounds bad. It was for the Philistines. How does that fit into God's plan for Israel? He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. He fits because he was God's gift to the Philistines to cover their back where they weren't covered themselves. There's nothing in Judges in the text to say the cycle Aaron told us about. Shannon told us about. Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Along comes persecution. The armies marched in. Oh, Lord, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us. They fell down before God. They repented, and God brought in their help. Not here. Beginning of Samson's story says that Israel continued to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Nevertheless, God brought Samson along to do for themselves what do for them what they couldn't do for themselves. Through recurring monotonous cycles of disobedience, foreign oppression, cries of distress and deliverance, this main theme, the faithfulness of the Lord who keeps his covenant even when Israel does not. God simply acted and Samson acted. He was God's gift for a specific time and place. We're moving to the end of the judges. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was pleasing in their own eyes. And the judges tried to ameliorate that. It wasn't working all that well. We get to the end of Judges, and guess what? We get Samuel, and Samuel is the one who begins to anoint the kings, Saul and then David. God's gift for a specific time and place, moving to the end of time of Judges, to the kingship, going even toward David. And David's kingship peters out, and that moves to the time of Christ. Judges trying to bring in the kingdom of God in this place, to advise, to act in powerful ways. Samson holding off the Philistines. God is at work. Then the kingship, a king, finally, David, so good that he becomes a figure for Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of David that Jesus identifies with. But then finally, Jesus. And on to Ascension Day. Even superheroes don't last forever. I don't know if you read about Robin Hood when you were a kid. Probably a historical figure in England 600-700 years ago. Robin Hood and his merry men, and they hung out in Sherwood Forest, and they drank ale and mead and stuff, and they would go and they would rob from rich people and they would give it to poor people. And there was a lady, Maid Marian. I suspect she could shoot a bow too. Well, those stories go on and on. The tales of Robin Hood, oh man, they were so interesting, but I'll never forget the last two chapters of the book because even Robin Hood wears out. He gets old and he can't draw that bow the way he did. And in the last scene, he's trying to get the attention of Little John, his right-hand person, and he's aiming an arrow with a message. They've got him. They've captured him. He's in an upper room somewhere, and he's aiming an arrow out the window with a message trying to call Little John to him. Little John attempts to break through, but he doesn't. And Robin Hood dies. And now the Samson, the superhero, dies. In death, he takes more people with him than he ever had in life. I'm not sure how Samson pulled off that last. Well, I am sure. I don't know exactly how he brought down the house. They said he entertained. He did bring down the house. I don't know what he did. Did he lift weights? Did he bench press 300 pounds? What did he do to entertain? Did he break chains with his bare hands, blind as he was? But we know that along with his hair came his awareness that God was with him, even though loss of his hair showed that he had disobeyed. As his hair grew and he becomes aware that God is with him some more, he's stuck between these two pillars and he gives them a push, praying, "Oh God, deliver me," and down they come. Kills more Philistines in dying than he did in his whole life. End of the superhero. What does Israel need? What do you and I need? I love superheroes. Superman was my guy when I was a kid. later Batman. Wow, doing good stuff. But none of those can really help us with the things that we really need. Going on to Ascension Day. The superhero we're looking for is Jesus Christ. And we all know of Jesus' death on the cross and his sacrifice on our behalf. We're familiar with that. Let's go to the catechism slide. But we quite often neglect to remember that part of Jesus' work for us, a big part, continues while he is in heaven. Heidelberg Catechism. This is a Reformation document that is very precious in the Christian Reformed Church. Here's some theology, so brace yourself. Question and answer 49. Of what advantage, and that comes from the Apostles' Creed. Crucified under Pontius Pilate, was dead, buried, descended into hell. He ascended into heaven. So what? He sits at the right hand of God the Father. What advantage to us? Just the most practical language in the world. Let's go to the next one. First of all, Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of God. He pleads our cause. My dear children, 1 John 2, verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, the righteous one. Jesus still pleads our cause in heaven. You ever screw up? You ever sin? You have an advocate. Somebody's going to laugh at my Dutch, but what's an advocaat in Dutch? It's a lawyer, advocate, somebody who speaks for you, somebody who takes your case, somebody who has your back. Incredible. And I put all of these with the text. There's a sheet in the back that if you want to see the verses that go with this, pick it up. Second, we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ our head will take us who belong to himself in heaven. Yeah. Ryan died. Some of you were there within an hour of his death. Ryan Veneman. I've been around death. Death, my brother died when I was a seventh grader. He had an operation, it didn't turn out so well, he died. He was a first grader. In those days, they kept a person's body in your house before the funeral. And people came into the house and to look at him and to say, oh, he looks so, and then they never know what to say. And as a kid, I remember thinking, he just looks dead. It's not nice. Well, friends, we have, because of the ascension of Jesus, to pinch yourself, we have our flesh in heaven, in Jesus Christ, as a pledge that we are going to be there too. With this skin. Or better. Third, he sends his Spirit to us on earth as a further guarantee. By the Spirit's power, we make the goal of our lives not earthly things, the things above, where Christ is sitting at God's right hand. So beautiful. Again, if you want all these with the scripture text that support them. Pastor Claude and I and Sipa Nashali, who is an African who knows Swahili, are working through this in preparation for Pastor Claude taking an exam to become a commissioned pastor in the CRC. So we're going along, okay, 16th century, okay, there it is, and this is what the church confesses. We're understanding that. We're doing a lot better when Sipa translates what I say in Swahili, and he starts talking even while I'm talking, and Claude's eyes go, oh. Claude's a very sharp man, Masaruka, Bishop Masaruka Claude Ngendahao. but sometimes talking fast and all the rest. He doesn't understand what this is going on in English any more than I understand what he's saying in Kinyarwandan. But his eyes brighten up, and I got my hands on a couple of copies of the Heidelberg Catechism that have all these texts written out that support these beautiful truths. What's the advantage of the ascension? That he's our advocate, that we have our skin in heaven, that he sends the Spirit to help us with those texts. They take that, it's a red-covered deal. I had a couple of them. I thought that would be enough, one for him, one for him. SIPA wanted one. Those guys came back the next week, and they said, wow, this is great. I could just see SIPA, or Claude, he was making sermons based on these things, those texts going, you know. Friends, this is ours. This is ours to possess. So Jesus, our advocate, just take the first one. Back to Samson. Our protector, our Savior. He protects us from what we cannot see. The enemies are to the east, but now they're coming from the west. Whoa! He has our back. What might this mean? Jesus is our advocate, our protector. How do we apply this in our lives? Who likes somebody coming up in the dark and going, boo! Sheepers, did I scare you? Of course you scared me. Dumb. It's no fun. Your car may have warning sensors to tell you if something approaches from the sides or behind us out of our view. That's great. You're driving. Oh, hi. Somebody comes going 20 miles an hour faster than you. But we don't have these for life. I ride a motorcycle, and first thing I do is make sure the mirrors are pointed at the street behind me, not at the trees or the clouds. I took flight lessons, and there's one thing they tell you, put your head on a swivel. All the way this way, all the way that way, all the time. But we can't do that in life. We spend most of our lives facing forward. Walking, running, even thinking. We place great value in teaching our children to think ahead. Christ having our back is not just about someone who sneaks up and says, boo. It's the stuff that comes out of the unknown, from awareness in life, that catches me out of the blue. I didn't see that coming, just like the Israelites didn't see the Philistines coming. For example, let's say you're in a fifth grade. One day, your really best friend, you have a friend who's really a friend. Your best friend comes along and says, oh, I'm so excited. We're moving to Kentucky. And you say, what's that? Well, my mom got a job. And the whole family's going to go. And we're going to Kentucky. Where's Kentucky? I don't know. It's far away. Far away. That's no fun. I didn't see it coming. An illness I may never have had before, never expected to have. I visit a doctor for a routine checkup and blood work comes back, and she gives you a serious look and she says, you have elevated. No, I have elevated anxiety. Who knew? A spouse hears words to this effect. Been married a while, and one spouse says to the other, I just don't feel love anymore. I don't know what to do about it. Who knew? The gospel from the risen and ascended Lord is, I am at the right hand of the Father. I speak up for you at the throne of grace. I will be with you. I will send my Spirit to help you. And if you ever wonder where you're going, think of where I am. Based on God's word, the gospel, I give all of us permission to take our deepest anxieties, our greatest unseen worries, the unspoken fears because they have no shape, no form, and turn them over to Jesus. A friend of mine here, we were studying away in anti-racism, and he leaned over and said, he says hardly a word, and he leaned over and said, you don't know what you don't know. No, you don't. But Jesus does. graduates, especially from high school, you're going to have a great summer. And then you got a job, or you're going to work, or you're going to school. I know somebody over there is going to Aquinas. And guess what? They're going to ask you to study. I heard some stats on NPR last week that 90% of young people about college age who are thinking about college have college as their highest anxiety. I know what that's like. Am I going to be able to pay for it? Will I fit in? Will I be able to do the work? I don't know. I was your age. I did get depressed feelings about this. Wow, life is not so good. It's so challenging. Now I have all these expectations rolling along behind me. I had these great parties at my graduation, and my grandma gave me something that said, "Now you go all the way," and she gave me a new, I don't remember what she gave me. Every time come home from college, Grandma Rose would say, "Now, how are your grades? How are you doing? How come you're so thin?" I don't want to let her down. So I worried. Well, friends, how did you feel when you were wrapped in those beautiful blankets? How did you feel when Sammy gave you a hug? Warm all over. Did you have to worry about your back being cold when you're wearing a warm blanket? That's the beauty of a blanket. It's got your back. And Jesus the same way. Same with the ascended Lord's love, your advocate, the one who sends the Spirit to help you. He's got your back, your front, your side, your top, your bottom. He wraps you in the blanket of his love and he says, "You are safe." So here in conclusion is a summary. What have we learned from the judges? At least two things. One is walk in his ways. Stay on the obedient path. But if we fall into sin, the Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, 2 Peter 3. And also remember the ascended Lord, who took over where the judges and the kings and even the best of the kings and all those folks in between failed. Trust Jesus to watch out for what you cannot see and to give you his Holy Spirit to be with you, give you strength, and to have your back. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll help us to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.